Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to another edition of The Drift. You can catch Brandon Drake in here with me today. Brandon.
Stand or fall. Brandon Drake is here.
Don't make me laugh.
I told you I was feeling wacky today.
I'll apologize to the listeners in advance because... Brandon had me laughing in here so hard, my throat is just off now. So if I don't sound good, you know whose fault it is. It's yours.
Moi.
Excuse me. So anyways, Derek, thank you for the intro and producing the show today.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, so we've got a great show. What we do every week on The Drift is go through the week's headlines and the political events and nonsense that you need to know about if you haven't. And on the Daily Drift, every day I put the stories that you're not getting from mainstream media. So we're going to cover some of them today. Feel free to call in 734-822-1600 should you wish to give us your opinion. Or you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, and I can read your comments on the air. As long as they're clean, that is. So
can we be flexible on that?
Yeah, semi-clean. Well, it's got to be clean. Let me take care of some business. Our sponsor this half hour is the Current newspaper. Taking ads right now for the September edition, excuse me, and a great way to get your branding and your media message out because, let's face it, you need as many customers as you can get, and when you advertise in the Current, you get your ad sent out to 30,000 homes via the U.S. Post Office, so they do indeed get there. And we drop off another 5,000 from Howell to Ann Arbor. So, you know, we mail from Pinckney to South Lyon. We mail from Brighton to Ann Arbor Township. And we drop off anywhere from Ann Arbor to Howell. So.
And it's a very dedicated customer base.
Yeah. I mean, for, you know, conservatives. I know we're probably the only conservative newspaper around, at least in this area. But, you know, I do take the opinions of liberals if they dare write in. Love to have them. We don't get them very often. But, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So those of you, I get two or three emails or calls a month from somebody complaining that I'm too biased or too one-sided. Well, you know, my first editorial always said, I'm not balanced, but I am fair. So, you know, if you don't write in and you don't like the content, it's your fault.
I'm not balanced, nor am I balanced.
All right, so I also want to hit Washtenaw County Veterans. Chapter 310 is having their 11th annual pig roast Sunday, September 8th from noon to 4 p.m. at the VFW post on South Wagner Road, 3230 South Wagner. Man, laughing. Don Miller, 734-864-2819. You can call him or Al Dyers at 734-475-8753. They're raising money for some good causes, our troops and other things. So make sure you try and hit this up on Sunday, September 8th, if you can. And it's a pig roast. So really good. I've heard about this for years. I've not made it myself. I'm going to try this year to get there. But again, it's a great cause. We're going to raise some money for our vets and stuff. So 734-864-2819. That's Don Miller.
And you can't go wrong with a pig roast.
You can never go wrong with a pig roast. You know what I mean? I'd like to go to Saudi Arabia and have a pig roast. What's the chance of that happening? Probably a little. Okay. I'm going to throw out a taxpayer alert. Now, we're going to get into this in the coming weeks. I don't have enough info to go deep into it right now. But allegedly, at the working session of the Washtenaw County Commission, we have some revenue enhancements.
So it's not a tax. It's just a revenue enhancement.
Yes.
Not a tax.
Well, it's, you know, you got to twist the name. They're spinning it.
It's an investment, revenue enhancement, but not a tax.
Well, I don't know that paying taxes is ever an investment for somebody, but not us. So beware that there is going to be some revenue enhancement.
An enhancement, not a tax.
Call it taxes, people. Your Washtenaw County Commission is looking to jab your wallet a little bit. So we'll get into that in the coming weeks as we hear more about it. I tried to dig up what I could and couldn't find a whole lot. So it's one of those things just getting talked about now.
Hey, Gary, how about the 1%, 1 percentage point, I should say, increase in the sales tax proposal to, you know, give money, more money to our schools? You heard about that too, right?
Yeah, you know,
like, what are they talking about?
Enough.
Please, enough.
What happened with these Republicans? All of a sudden, the economy barely starts to improve, and we're talking about taxing again. What the heck is going on?
I know. It's disgusting. It makes my blood boil and just anger flush through me when I hear this.
Yeah, it's an outrage. It's an outrage. So first thing we're going to do today is talk a little bit about Medicaid expansion and Obamacare. It's related. And it looks like the Senate here in the state of Michigan is moving forward with Medicaid expansion. Now, I'm hoping the House is going to drag their feet or do something. We all know Patrick Colbeck, who's been on this station regularly, has a free market enterprise system that he's touting, and the GOP Livingston County GOP has endorsed it. So, you know, people need to get hold of their state congressmen, representatives, and state senators, Joe Hune, Gretchen Driscoll, and say, you know what, take another look at something else, because there's got to be something better than going along with this Obamacare gig, which is failing miserably. I want to talk, we've heard me talk about Michigan Capital Confidential. I put their links on The Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, all the time. Their stories are great. It's a great way to be informed. And there's a video this week from a Dr. Condit who's talking about Medicaid payments and Medicaid expansion and why we should not do it. That's going to be track one. Derek, you got that ready? All right, let's listen to this.
Medicaid pays us way below what it costs us to take care of them.
We've looked at it in this practice, and it's probably, you know, 22-25% or so of reasonable customary charges. And you know, for overhead is 30-40%, and some offices is 50%. You know, they're paying, you know, half of your cost of taking care of the patient.
I mean, the costs of running a practice are just escalating tremendously. You know, the malpractice insurance is very, very expensive. We're faced with pressures to add electronic records, which is thousands of dollars. In our office, for example, we need a digital X-ray machine at some point. If you follow us around today, you'll see we're pretty cramped here. Our health care for our employees is skyrocketing. To expand Medicaid, it may sound like a good intention, but the fact is that system is broken right now. And Medicaid, if it doesn't cover the bills and pay fairly, then that's not going to create access for all the patients that need that health care.
You know, many times specialists can just do a skilled physical exam and skip that $3,000 MRI study.
Long term is to have more personal responsibility for health care. And at the end of the day, so much of our health care cost is because of decisions we make as individuals. And I know our country's not heading this way, but the answer, though, is to have people participating more in the cost of their care. And that will lead to control. And the answer is not more government involvement. It's not an independent payment advisory board, this IPAB. It's not panels to make decisions. It's individuals being more responsible for their health care.
Okay.
Individual responsibility, that's a foreign concept in our society and becoming more and more rare all the time.
Yeah, it is now. I mean, it's crazy. Let me ask you this, too, because this is the way I like to relate it. You know, benefits and health insurance was something employers originally started doing to help keep and get better employees. It was a benefit.
And it was part
wasn't
of
a requirement. It was a benefit.
A benefit, and it was part of the marketplace to keep good people,
yes.
Attract and keep good people.
Yes. And you know, frankly, I've heard this before, and I think Patrick Colbeck's talking about this as well. You know what? When I go get an oil change on my car, it's not covered by my car insurance. I pay for that maintenance.
But it should be social justice.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, people need those regular checkups. That's something you ought to be paying out of pocket.
But Gary, what about people who can't afford to pay for their oil change? Shouldn't you feel like you should be part of a general pool to help everybody?
Wow, dude, really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Did you eat the communist pie out there in the office or something?
Well, I'm being facetious, but this coffee might be affecting my brain.
It's, you know what? Who's that coffee from South America, dude? You must be getting the communist bug. No, but what I'm saying
Juan
is...
Juan Valdez.
Yes. Don't call Juan Valdez.
It's not fair trade coffee either.
Oh, so, man. You can't take the maintenance and things that we should be paying out of pocket. Because I'll tell you from my own personal experience, I went probably 10 years without coverage, without insurance coverage. And I was, you know, late 30s, into my 40s. And I didn't go as often as I probably should have because I couldn't afford it. Just couldn't. But I eventually found a doctor who didn't take insurance at all. St. Luke's up in Brighton. Dr. Jean Dunnigan. Great lady. And she charged cash. That was it. Check, cash, credit card, whatever. You pay for it. And her prices were reasonable. Extremely reasonable. You could walk in, you know, if you had a cold, or you had a bad shoulder, whatever, you could get in, get out for cheap. And you know what was stunning was, it was the doc and one lady answering the phones. There was no reams and reams of files and paperwork and everything else that had to be done to take care of the insurance company and their requirements and all that other crazy stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when I asked her about it, she said, I'm doing as much business as I've ever done.
Was there a 3,000-page document about Obamacare in there to allow her to refer to how to proceed?
Yeah, none of that. And the result was she spent more time with you, she treated you better, mm-hmm. and you got your money's worth.
Oh, yeah, you go to the doctors today, and they just, you know, they look at you, and before you can even tell them what is wrong, they're getting you out the door.
Right. I mean, it's an absolute insane system that we've got going on right now. So if a doctor is only getting 25 cents out of a dollar of service that he's giving you, how long do you think he's going to continue taking Medicaid?
Well, you know, going back to that audio and Medicaid, it reminded me of the old Soviet Union, the stories I used to read where they had supposed free health care. And what would happen is you would go into this hospital, and because people were so underpaid, there was no money. It was so the payment from the government to people working in this hospital and their technology and everything, it was so below market, if you will, that when you went into the hospital, you had to pay bribes as you're in your hospital bed for them to take care of you. Because this person working at this hospital could go out and drive a taxi and make more money in the black market driving people around, taking money under the table as a taxi driver than as a doctor. So it reminded me of this Medicaid where he's basically saying we're going to be paid under cost. And, you know, you could eventually have a corrupt society like the Soviet Union where you've got to go in there and start paying under the table to have yourself taken care of or a relative taken care of, because otherwise they're going to ignore you and you're going to die.
And that's what happens when you mess with the free market
economy.
Exactly. Leave it alone. We don't need more of this regulation and nonsense. The doctors will bring costs down when there's less regulations and less problems with insurance companies to deal with. I mean, that's just basic economics. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about what's going on with Obamacare. We'll see you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
A tea dance is a dance held in the afternoon or early evening during which tea is served. They were usually held in the summer or fall, and they originated in the late 19th century. The first annual Bethlehem Tea Dance and Concert will be Sunday, August 11th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Bethlehem United Church of Christ, 423 South 4th Avenue in Ann Arbor. Admission in advance or at the door is $10, $8 for seniors, $20 for families of three or more. The Bethlehem Tea Dance and Concert will feature Balmer's Depot Town Big Band. For more information, call 734-663-6149 or email gtstanton@aol.com. The Advanced Freedom Awards will be presented at the first annual Michigan Freedom Celebration on August 13th at the Cromaine Lodge at Walden Woods in Heartland Township. The inaugural edition of this event will be hosted by Retake Our Gov Tea Party Group. For more information, call 810-207-1867. The Old St. Patrick Church Labor Day Weekend Festival will be Saturday, August 31st and Sunday, September 1st. It'll be held at 5671 Whitmore Lake Road in Ann Arbor. There will be kids' games, a petting farm, face painting, inflatables for kids and teens, a rock climbing wall, bungee jump, and more. There will also be a country store, silent auction, gift baskets, and a used book sale, and great live music. For more information, call 734-662-8141 or visit stpatrickat2.org. You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake,
COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift here on Wham! Talk 1600. And your opinions are wanted, 734-822-1600. We're talking a little bit about Obamacare. Now, we left off with the Medicaid expansion here in Michigan, and hopefully our state senators and congressmen will get their heads out of their behinds and not proceed with this and come up with the alternative that Patrick Kolbeck is pushing, free market alternative. But there was an article this week at the Daily Drift. If you're not going to thedailydrift.com, you should be. I spent a lot of time to get those articles out there for you to read and inform yourself so that you can be a better voter. Better voter. Health and Human Services Inspector General fears Obamacare co-ops will run out of money before enrolling their first customers. Yeah, go figure. Everything else is falling apart around our feet, right?
You know, what's interesting, on the Obamacare enrollment, I read this article last week, if you will, and it said, ironically enough, the red states who have rejected the health care exchanges, you know, to set it up within the state by the state, and the federal government has stepped in to set up the exchanges if the state won't do it, they have signed an agreement with ehealthinsurance.com, and they're thinking that because that agreement has been signed by the federal government with eHealth Insurance, that ironically enough, red state citizens will be enrolling faster and more comprehensively than blue state.
Yeah, well, go figure.
So, I mean, the irony of that.
Red means common sense, and blue means stupidity. Oh, did
well,
I just say that?
Well, in the red states, they fought the Obamacare, but because the exchanges are created by the federal government and this agreement with ehealthinsurance.com, they're thinking that now in the red states who fought it, more people in the red states are going to sign up at a faster rate than the people in the blue states.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I'd have to flesh that out a little bit more, but that was the gist of the article.
Right. Well, this one tells about the 24 healthcare co-ops created under Obamacare. There's 24 nonprofits. They were intended to create competition for private insurance companies, and they're funded by a $2 billion loan program authorized via Obamacare to cover their startup costs. The co-ops are expected to become self-sustaining and repay those loans with interest. But 11 of the 16 co-ops reviewed thus far by the Inspector General said they expect startup costs to exceed what they received already from the Department of Health and Human Services. And none of those reviewed by the Inspector General have enough private support to fund them once they are up and running, even though private support was one of the main criteria. So, you know, a bunch of people, and we've seen this all along, people were all supportive of Obamacare, the unions, everybody, and now they're all walking away. We don't want it. We want out. You supported it. You are the jackwagons that went out and helped Obamacare get passed. You gave them money. You gave them support. You gave them airtime. And now all of a sudden it doesn't work for you.
You know what? When I hear the word co-op in this context, I can't help but have a vision of hash bash on University of Michigan's campus and a drum circle going on.
The talking stick?
Yeah.
I ask you the talking stick.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I hear the word co-op.
Yeah, you know what? It's one of those, frankly, it's almost like communism, isn't it? Co-op. Yes.
Co-op.
Let's all put our stuff in together and see who we can take care of the least.
Let's collectivize.
Yeah, so, you know, along with Congress this week getting the waiver, I mean, there's the next thing. You're creating an entire political class that doesn't have to live under the same rules they're making for us to live under.
What hypocrisy.
Total hypocrisy.
You can be the greatest supporter of Obamacare in the world, and you have to see this hypocrisy, I would think, no matter how slanted you are to the left.
Yeah. Well, here's a little more hypocrisy for you. The Obamacare, and this is another article at thedailydrift.com, Obamacare death panels facing growing opposition from Democrats. Huh? Really? Howard Dean.
Howard Dean,
one of the biggest pushers and supporters of Obamacare, now saying, not really. Not a big supporter anymore. Former Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean drew attention to the board designed to limit Medicare cost growth when he called for its repeal in an op-ed last month. Right? Didn't they say there was no death panel? There are no death panels. You know, they crucified Sarah Palin for saying there was a death panel, and now here's Howard Dean saying, yeah, we got to defund that death panel. Well, thanks, Howard.
Right. Way to flip-flop at the last second.
You know, there are a lot of times on this show where I wish we were internet radio so that I could get away with saying things about how I really feel about people like Howard Dean and those economic retards who pushed and voted and supported Obamacare. Because you know what? It's driving health insurance costs through the stinking roof. It's an outrage.
Yeah, Howard Dean, that really brings back bad memories. What a nutcase.
I'd almost like to try imitating that scream that he did. No. You know what I mean? I'd blow out the whole studio if I tried to do that. So there's also news this week about Florida and Ohio's health insurance rates skyrocketing. Now, go figure. Isn't the Affordable Care Act, the official name for Obamacare, the rest of us call it Obamacare, but let's face it, the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. Obamacare, oxymoron. Affordable Care Act, oxymoron.
Moron.
A lot of moron.
The key word being moron.
Right.
Yes. It's devastating to the country that people are still allowing this nonsense to continue. I mean, and even Obama, how can you pick and choose a law that was passed? Isn't your job as President of the United States to enforce the laws of the land? And now all of a sudden you can just go ahead and pick and choose what you worked so hard to pass? I mean, I would like to hear from one person who really supports Obamacare. And I'd like to know if they voted for their congressman or senator who also voted for Obamacare. I mean, we can blame Debbie Stabenow for sure. We can blame Carl Levin, who's leaving. We can't punish him enough. And we can still beat him up here on the radio show. But why would people continue voting for, well, and your buddy, Hillary Clinton? You know what I mean? It'll be nice to see how she backpedals away from this during the presidential election.
Well, she's very good at backpedaling. Nothing sticks. Nothing sticks on her.
Yeah. Well, speaking of
deodorant.
The other big news this week, the GOP is putting pressure on the television networks to not show the... Who would want to watch a Hillary Clinton four-part series anyways?
Right, right. And you remember that stupid TV series that came out? I think it lasted about four episodes where... Oh, was it Gina? Who's the big actress? Gina
Gershon?
No. And she was the star of this, and she was like the Hillary Clinton type president. It was a female president. That show went off the air real quick.
I think it was Commander in Chief.
That's it, Commander in Chief. Was it Gina Davis, Derek?
Yeah.
Okay, Gina Davis. Yeah, what an awful program. Didn't last long.
Look, Derek comes right out of the woodwork. Nice one, Derek.
Unfortunately, Hillary Clinton's political career is lasting longer than that television show.
All right, we'll catch you on the other side.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. In a remote part of Idaho, about 150 people are searching for missing California teen Hannah Anderson and the man suspected of abducting her and killing her mother and brother.
On Wednesday, a horseback rider reported seeing Hannah and James DiMaggio in a wilderness area about 6 miles outside of Cascade, Idaho. The horseback rider told authorities that he thought that DiMaggio and Hannah appeared to be in good health, and from his perspective, it did not appear that Hannah was being held against her will.
Fox's Will Carr, nearly all the diplomatic posts in the Middle East and Africa closed since last Sunday are reopening again tomorrow.
Officials say the one exception is the embassy in Yemen. That will remain closed. President Obama says terrorists
have the capacity to go after our embassies.
The president speaking during a White House news conference.
Fox Radio's Don Matheson, Fox News. We report, you decide.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper. Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. From the heat of Saturday night till the wee hours of the cool early morning, your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show. Then from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie. At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet. Then Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight. Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at midnight, followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go from 2 to 4. Bleach down your slicks, pop your clutch, peel out, and get rubber in all four gears with Theron's Saturday Night Rockin' Rhythm Review. It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4, right here on the musical side of Wham! No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Trenton, New Jersey to Monterey, California, Toledo to Ishpeming, Wham Talk 1600 is there. Online and streaming live. whamradio.com. You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch the Drift. Just getting Drake all wired up here because our next subject is going to be a sore spot for you. I don't know about Derek. We're going to get his comments on this too, I'm sure. Should taxpayers pay for a new stadium in Detroit?
No. Next story.
Hockey stadium.
No, any stadium.
There's no debate with
any
you.
Any stadium. There's what? I'm gonna fire the first shot and say, well, the Red Wings, they're going to argue the Red Wings will leave. Leave. Who cares?
Let's play this track, Dirk, to bring everyone up to speed. And Mike Lefebvre from Michigan CatCon, one of my favorite sites, was on Fox Business and had this to say about it, as well as the Democratic Chris Kofinis, I think is his name. Let's play that track and get people up to speed.
Michael, let me start with you. It seems a little crazy if you can't pay your existing bills and you're filing for bankruptcy to go on the hook for another $444 million. I guess their portion is $400 million or something like that. What do you think?
Well, of course it is, but Detroit isn't exactly known for its economic rationality, and they're in this position able to impose some of their costs on state taxpayers. So a taxpayer in Ishpeming might be responsible for part of this new stadium they'll never use.
Hmm. Chris, I'm betting that you're going to make the argument that maybe this creates thousands of jobs.
Well, actually, it does create thousands of jobs. The estimates are it's going to create 8,000 jobs. You're talking about, you know, some of the study that was done, $1 billion in direct and indirect investment over the next 2-3 decades. Listen, is it the best timing? Absolutely not. I mean, are people going to be questioning the sensibility of doing this? Absolutely, and they should.
All right, well, at least that guy qualifies his statement by saying people will be questioning. Of course we're questioning. Number one, the guy's talking about creating jobs. Well, of course you're going to create some jobs short term. You got to do the demolition of Joe Louis, and then you've got to build a new stadium.
With the taxpayer paying this, why?
Well, exactly.
And you know what? I'm not picking on the Red Wings because I'm not a hockey fan. Detroit, the Pistons, the Lions, any sports team, forget it. You're on your own. If you want to leave, leave.
Yeah, because here's the thing. You know, Mike Ilitch, billionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billionaire. And if we build him a new stadium, he's going to probably have another $500 million in profit over the next 10, 15 years. Pay for it himself. It's $444 million. You pay for it.
Finance it. Pay for it yourself.
Now, I go to the Red Wings, I'm paying, what, $70 for a ticket?
Right.
You know, they'll probably jack the price up, too, based on the taxpayers. So we'll pay for it as taxpayers.
Yeah, again, communism. To subsidize a billionaire.
Yes.
And you're going to supposedly create jobs, but the taxpayer has to pay for these jobs. And it's always very inefficient because you're going to pay $100,000, say, for $10,000 worth of work.
Yeah. Well, here's the way it goes, too, because you know what? Communism, Soviet communism, was a wealth. It wasn't true communism because not everybody was the same. The wealthy got wealthier, the powerful got more powerful, and the rest of the people ate potatoes and stood in line for a loaf of bread for a week.
Absolutely.
And crony capitalism is no different than Soviet communism. People, that's where this country is going right now. And the politicians that would support this should be turned out of office. They should be tarred and feathered. Because here's $444 million that you're asking me, who worked hard every day and barely get by, to pay for Mike Ilitch's brand new stadium, and he's going to make millions of more dollars. And I'm a Red Wings fan, don't get me wrong. But don't ask me to pay for something for Mr. Ilitch when he should buy it himself. He makes good money for me if I buy a ticket.
And if I say, the threat then is that he's going to go to another city like many sports teams do, what do you say to that?
Go.
Exactly.
Go to Grand
Rapids. Exactly. Don't try to hold that over our heads and hold us hostage and threaten us and everything else. Leave. We'll watch it on TV.
I mean, you know, I'm fine with giving him a tax break. You know, give the man a tax break on his property taxes, whatever. Because, you know, yes. But to say that we're going to make 8,000 new jobs, other than the construction, that's true. But you're not going to have any more jobs than you've got right now with people working at Joe Louis. You're not going to have any more jobs working at the Red Wings enterprises than you are right now.
And, you know, Gary, the same concept in my mind applies to, for example, this stupid Transformers 4 movie being filmed in Detroit and around the Detroit area. This is simply a union giveaway. We subsidize the movie production company. They come in here and they have to hire Teamsters. They have to hire riggers and all this stuff. And I know because I'm not going to elaborate, but I know what goes on where they you're a Teamster, you drive a truck and you go park it and you're done for the next 9-12 hours and you're sitting around playing on your phone, eating prime rib and hanging out on the set and killing time, and you're getting paid time and a half over 8 hours. You're getting paid double time if you work over 12 hours or 10 hours, whatever is. And I know from personal experience, not that I've done this, but I know people that do this and they take great pride in that they can go hang around. And it's basically the taxpayer is subsidizing these people to do this. It's the movie company takes from the taxpayer here and they basically give to the unions.
Yes.
And they have to hire union work. They can't say, you know what, we're going to put this up for bid. Oh, you can do this for $100, but this guy's going to charge $1,000 and he's in the union. The union guy gets the job.
Right. That's exactly right. And I've got a buddy who also works as I think he's electrical grip.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. And when he tells me those, I don't know that he's proud of it because you know what? He knows he's overpaid, but you know what? It's a job.
Right.
He takes a job as he gets it.
Now, you know what? I have respect for somebody in the union that's doing this and says, you know what? I know it's a scam, but I need the money and I'm going to do it. It's a corrupt, awful system, but you know what? I have a family and I have the opportunity. I'm going to do it. I get that. But somebody, and I know these people, they will argue with me that I've got it all wrong. And they'll start mentioning CEOs and how much they make and blah, 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 all those talking points. Spare me. I don't care how much the CEO makes. That's not part of the argument that we're having.
That's true. That's true. Anything when it comes to subsidies, I think, frankly, subsidies for farmers is wrong as well. If you can't afford to grow wheat and make a living at it, get out.
Right.
You know, if you can't afford to make milk and make a living at it, get out. You must not be doing it right.
And I have a problem, too, with subsidizing these museums that I'll never go to.
Well, there you go.
You know, like the DIA as an example.
You've never been to the DIA?
I've never been. I'm sure
shame
it's great.
Shame on you.
But
I can't
again,
say that because I've never been either.
But
so
again, that goes,
go.
Why should I have to help pay for that? Why should anybody have to help pay for that?
It's the culture.
Stand
dude.
Alone.
It's the culture, dude. You must pay for the culture.
I'm not a cultured person.
The Ministry of Culture will be on you,
speech.
Dude, if you don't. The Ministry of Culture will be down on you.
The Ministry of Culture? I work for the Ministry of Wheat, so hey.
Yes, you'll be off to the gulag before too much longer, like the rest of us. I'm sure the Ministry of Information is recording us.
Yes, Alex Jones is screaming about those FEMA camps, and I've already got my ticket.
All right. Yes.
You're making me laugh.
The plastic coffins. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm already set. They've got a name on mine.
I mean, between the pharmaceutical companies killing me and the FEMA camps, I don't have much longer to live.
All right. Well, let me take a break, Derek, because I'm going to laugh a little more.
Oh, we need Derek's input on this.
Oh, when we
come
back, we'll get Derek's input.
Yeah.
Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Wham Talk 1600 is Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse. Conservative talk from intelligent, informed hosts every weekday. Wake up with Bill Bennett's Morning in America, a daily dialogue with men and women all across America. Intelligence, candor, and goodwill. 6 a.m. to 9, right here on Wham. From 9 to noon, you get the third highest radio program in America, the Glenn Beck Program. Glenn is one of America's leading multimedia personalities. He'll entertain as he shares his thoughts on the latest insanity in the political arena. At noon, you get 3 hours of Laura Ingraham, the most listened to woman in political talk radio, with your healthy radio addiction. Then at 3, it's the one and only Theyrone X with On the Edge. Theyrone blasts the politicians on the left, the right, and wherever they're not following the Constitution. On the Edge, weekdays 3 p.m. to 6, right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. After nearly 3 years of hard work, I'm proud to announce the sequel to The Overton Window is out. It's called The Eye of Moloch, an action-packed thriller with a plot ripped right from today's surveillance state headlines. If you liked Overton Window, you're going to love The Eye of Moloch. Grab your copy for summer vacation now. Available at Walmart, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour Radio Show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel Program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
I'm Susan Lucci. More than 2 million Americans have a type of irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib, putting them at greater risk of stroke.
I'm Dr. David Willis, and I frequently see patients with AFib, a serious condition where a blood clot can travel from the heart to the brain, causing a stroke.
When I found out my husband Helmut had AFib, I pledged to learn everything I could.
Susan and I, along with my doctor, work as a team to help reduce my risk of AFib-related stroke.
Visit FacingAFib.com today.
I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enna Media are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham! Talk 1600.
Yeah! Cross of the night!
You're Catching the Drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Welcome back to the Drift. Gary Wellings, Brandon Drake with you. Now, we were talking about the Red Wings, and we're just using them as an example. Gary and I were against all subsidies for all sports teams, period. Derek is a fanatical sports fan, especially the Red Wings. I used to be on a sports show here at Wham! With Derek, and so we're going to turn it over to Derek to tell us about maybe the whole historical importance of the Red Wings to Detroit and why we should possibly subsidize the stadium to keep them here. Derek, take it away.
All right, Drake, well, thank you. As far as I'm concerned with the whole taxpayers paying for the new Red Wings facility, I think it should mainly go to the season ticket holders. They should fit more of the bill, in my mind. I don't think you should have taxpayers in the UP or any other part in the state of Michigan who regularly don't see the Red Wings in person. So
you make me proud, Derek. Make me real proud.
So I think that's why the season ticket holders should really fit more of the bill. That just makes the most sense to me. But
Derek, don't let me jump in here. And when you say season ticket holders, it's not only individuals, but a lot of that is corporate season holders, right? So they can afford, in many cases, to pay extra to keep that stadium there, or a new stadium, rather.
Yeah, that's right, Drake. I agree with that point, definitely. Actually, during the break, I was kind of doing a little math in my head because they said they want taxpayers to pay for $450 million of this project. And I figured, and I divided it by about 10,000 season ticket holders, roughly, and that came out to like $45,000 a person. So with some of those big corporations, they could definitely be able to pay at least that much, if not at least maybe even double or triple. So I think that's the way to go, definitely.
Well, the corporations, when they buy these booths and these suites and these season tickets, they write them off anyways. It's all a business expense.
I'm going to pull a Seinfeld on you. You write it off. What does that mean?
You write it off against the profit that you made as a company.
And Kramer, the proper response is Kramer says, I don't know, but they do. And they write it off.
They write it off. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer. Don't make the rest of us pay for what it's Mike Ilitch making the money. It's his company. He makes the big money off of the Red Wings, nobody else. So why should we have to foot his bill? You know, you take the risk, and it's pretty riskless, let's face it. Red Wing fans will pay whatever to go to a hockey game. They will pay whatever it takes to put a new stadium in. We shouldn't have to put that subsidy in place. There's no reason for it.
Why do we have to pay for the party?
Exactly. It's Mike Ilitch's party. Let him pay for it.
I'm almost as much against this as I am against Edward Snowden.
Ooh, let's not even go there yet. We're going to move on, though, because we're going to talk about the vacationer-in-chief is now heading off to Martha's Vineyard on our dime, yet again, spending millions of our dollars to go hang out in Martha's Vineyard with all those fancy folk who can't hang out with our ilk. He's going to hang out there after having a press conference this week, and some people say he got beat up a little bit on it, but as far as I'm concerned, he showed in his press conference this week what an amateur he is, especially when it comes to foreign policy. Your segue of Snowden was perfect, with the Russians saying we're going to give Snowden a home for a year and deteriorating relations. Obama had this to say about Putin. Derek, are you ready for track number 3?
I know the press likes to focus on body language, and he's got that kind of slouch, looking like the bored kid in the back of the classroom. But the truth is that when we're in conversations together, oftentimes it's very productive.
The president said he is offended by Russia's new anti-gay law.
Okay, so...
You know what? Maybe his former Secretary of State, that moron Hillary Clinton, should create another reset button.
Yeah, well, exactly. There's no reset here. I mean, the first thing, you don't insult somebody. That's the most backhanded compliment, I guess. I don't. Maybe he was trying to compliment him, but what an idiot, sheer idiot, that you would talk about a president of a country like Russia or China or any other major company or country and say that. It's slouch like a kid sitting in the back. Hello, I'd put the two of you in a room together. I bet you who's going to win a fight. You know, Mr. Putin is... one bad guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Obama, nobody can smoke a cigarette with one hand and shoot hoops with the other. Take him on that way.
I mean, that's insane. That does not help relations. And I know Russia's sticking their thumb in our eye with this Snowden thing, but you know what? There's a way to handle this. And in the long run, you have to look at Russia as one thing. They're probably the next closest country in size and power to us that has anything in league with us. You know what? We're looking at a world that's going crazy extreme Muslim, this caliphate, whatever they're looking at down there in Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. Those people we have nothing in common with. They don't like our lifestyle. They don't like us. They don't like anything about the United States and Western civilization. And yet Russia, for whatever power trips and power games they may be playing, they're like us. They like to go out to dinner. They like to drink. They like to go to the club. You know, those are the people we should be identifying with. They're not communists anymore. They are crony capitalists, just like us. I mean, there's things going on there that's not right either. And yes, maybe they're being anti-gay right now. That'll go away in time. But if anything, we should be working harder to have a relationship with them, not throwing threats of boycotting the Olympics. What idiots are talking about boycotting the Olympics? That's just plain stupid.
Well, you know, the Russians, I understand totally what you're saying, and they do have, especially in the Caucasus, they have problems with extreme Islamists and the terrorism that's been going on in Chechnya and all those other areas. Dagestan, I think, is the other one, and a handful of others. But the problem I got with Russia is they have close relations with the Iranians. They have close relations with the Syrians. You know, they pick and choose, too, around the world who they're going to play with.
Yeah, of course they do, because you know what? They're capitalists. They can make money off the Iranians. They're making money off the Syrians. Now, what's odd, Saudi Arabia this week offered them a military package and said, we'll buy so much if you stop supporting Assad. But they said no. I mean, it's one of those things. There is a slippery slope here. I mean, the Russians are still backing Assad, but frankly, on this issue, when the other side and the rebels are sawing the heads off people with kitchen knives, I'm not sure I want to support those rebels.
Oh, no. And I was just going to address that. I am certainly not implying by any means that I support the rebels. They are worse than Assad. But I've just got a problem with the Russians being so tight with Assad, too. That's the only point I wanted to make.
The devil you know is better than the devil you don't, as far as I'm
concerned.
That's
usually the case.
When I see the crazy things these Muslims extreme, they shot an 8-year-old girl coming out of Sunday school in a Coptic church in Egypt this last couple of days. These people, they have nothing in common with us.
And that's a segue into you know, when Bush was in power, I heard this for 7 years, that the only reason that there's problems in Pakistan and Afghanistan and these Islamists is because of Bush's policies. And as soon as the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Obama, comes into office, all of these problems are going to go away because Bush's policies will go away. Well, the Islamic world is more on fire than ever. We have set up Islamists all over North Africa, Libya, Tunisia, Egypt. Well, that finally is reversing itself, hopefully. But the great second coming, Obama, was going to solve everything, and he's made everything worse, including being the Air Force commander for al-Qaeda in countries like Libya.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to go back to your good friend Hillary Clinton, whose State Department policies have just screwed things up royally. And so those of you who want to vote for her in 2016, yeah, good luck with that. You know, it's absolutely insane. But since you are on Snowden again, let's also talk about the NSA, because you and I have had our differences a little bit.
Sure.
Not too far apart, but we're a little bit. But people want to say the NSA is doing what's okay to do. Well, if that is true, then how come Obama, in this press conference, kind of backtracked a little bit and said, ooh, we need to have some changes at the NSA? Derek, let's run with track four. This is just a snippet out of Ed Henry talking to Obama or asking a question at the press conference.
President Obama outlined new measures to reform the surveillance programs revealed by fugitive NSA leaker Edward Snowden, including putting a new civil liberties officer at the NSA and promising to reveal more about the once secret programs.
We can and must be more transparent.
Okay, so. So.
Now I'm going to start laughing.
If it's perfectly okay, why all of a sudden do we need a civil liberties guy whose job is to make sure they're not doing anything wrong at the NSA?
You know, another level of bureaucracy is what I see. And, you know,
well, there's another job.
Yeah.
Put another $200,000 a year job out there, a civil liberties officer.
I don't know. Maybe it is needed. Maybe this is exactly what we need. But to me, on the surface, it just sounds like another level of bureaucratic nightmare to get through and tying our hands when we really need to be flexible.
Right.
Possibly. I know we kind of disagree on that, but that's kind of where I lean.
Okay, so I'm going to skip. I was going to go into Benghazi, and I want people to not let Benghazi slip away. There was a sealed – Obama slipped on this talking about a sealed indictment this week, and people are all over the map on what it is, and was he violating his own law by speaking it. But we're going to skip that because we'll hit that next week. But we have a final track here because Obama met with the Greek president this last week.
Yeah, another and, stellar country.
Yeah, and here's what he had to say about – their debt problem. Let's run with track six, Derek, before we run out of time.
What we also agreed to is that in dealing with the challenges that Greece faces, we cannot simply look to austerity as a strategy. It's important that we have a plan for fiscal consolidation to manage the debt, but it's also important that growth and jobs because we know from history.
Okay, so he's talking about Greece managing their debt while he's getting ready to ask for another raise in the debt ceiling.
We must spend money to save money.
How
is that kind of
how
does
that? How can you actually say those words without laughing? In a press conference, he's counseling Greece on debt management? Are you kidding me?
It's known as kicking the can down the road until he gets out of office and then he's scot-free.
He's the ultimate can kicker.
Mm-hmm.
He should be kicking his own can, is what he should be doing for dealing with this. As it, to make it worse, as he's spending millions of dollars we don't have this week on Martha's Vineyard.
And he screamed when he was running for office that when he was a senator, George Bush raising the debt ceiling was a failure in leadership. How many times has Obama done it and now proposing it again?
Absolutely. Craziness. Well, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Stay informed, and we'll catch you next week. Thank you much.